much there. So we're in the book of 2 Samuel. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning, 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel and chapter 12. Most of you are aware of this story, and it's a blessed story because it teaches us so much about ourselves and our relationship with the Lord. But remember, we know what happened with David and the sin that he committed with Bathsheba and having her husband killed and so forth. And this is the chapter where God sent Nathan to rebuke David for what he had done. So I'm going to read, just go ahead and read the whole chapter of 2 Samuel chapter 12. The Bible says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, this man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this great deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth, and washed, and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord, and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So I've entitled our message this morning, Thou art the man. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you this time together, and we pray that you would use your powerful word in our hearts to change us, to speak to us. And Lord, may we come with expectant hearts and allow you to do a work there. We pray you would meet each one of us personally, meet the needs that are in this room, and Lord, that our Savior Jesus Christ would be magnified and lifted up. So please guide every aspect of this service in your perfect will, and we will praise you for it. We love you and pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen. Amen. There's so much in this chapter, but I want to just point out a few things that I believe can help us as Christians. And the first thing that I see, you know, we read that first part of the chapter where David heard this story that Nathan told. And of course, God used this story to tug at David's heart and teach him a lesson. But the first thing that I see is David was so upset at this wrong behavior from this imaginary rich man, but he wasn't upset about his own sin. And so the first thing that I see is we are never to be comparing ourselves with others. And this really is important for us as Christians, because how often do we focus on the faults and the problems in other people's lives while we're carrying around all this sin in our own lives? We're not here to judge one another's sins. We're here to keep ourselves right before God. And so God wants us to be looking inward, not focusing on the sins of others. And that would be the first thing I would say is don't compare. Keep your place here and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where God reminds us of this great truth that we are not to be comparing ourselves with others. This is exactly what David did here. David got so angry about this imaginary rich man taking this imaginary land from this imaginary poor man. And he had just had someone murdered and taken this man's wife. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, that they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Just if you were to circle the appearance of selves in that verse and count them, you would be amazed how many times it shows up in one verse. And yet, isn't that a weakness in all of us? To, oh, that person's got this problem, and that person's got this problem, and that person has this sin in their lives. What about us? And here David, he's the man after God's own heart. He's the apple of God's eye. And here he is getting angry about the sin in someone else's life. Until, of course, Nathan explained to him that that wasn't the point at all. And said, thou art the man. And so the first thing I take away from this, don't be comparing and don't be looking at the sins of others. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to be one another's judge of their sins. Now, there are times where the Bible encourages us, if we see a brother or sister going off the rails, we're to give them admonition and to encourage and warn them about where that's going to lead. But nowhere are we told to be going around correcting one another's faults and sins. That's something the Lord can do. He's God. He can take care of it through the Holy Spirit. And then the second thing I see in this, and when he called out David's sin, it was a reminder to David that we need to be constantly looking at our own lives, constantly evaluating ourselves in light of God's Word and listening to the Spirit of God. Obviously, and David was a great man, and David was a spiritual man, but David was not a perfect man. None of us are. And for this short time, David had obviously stopped listening to the Spirit of God. Or this would have already been dealt with. It wouldn't have taken Nathan to show up and tell this story to wake him up. He would have already been under conviction about his sin. But he had stepped away from that and stopped listening to conviction. And that is why we must be constantly coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, look into my heart. Look into my life. What do I need to change? Where do I need to fix something? What sin is there that shouldn't be there that I need to take care of? And have that attitude that it's about me and my sin and not others and other sins. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 1:15. This was Paul's attitude about sin. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's the right attitude. Paul was a great man. Paul was a great missionary and great church planner, but he never had this attitude that he wasn't a sinner and that he was above others. He had the attitude, I'm a sinner. Matter of fact, he called himself the chief of sinners. And so we see there the attitude that he had about his own life, which is where we all should be. We should be constantly coming to God and saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need you to look into my heart. I need you to look into my life. I need you to work. Because God is ready to do those things. But we must be willing to ask. You know, as David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, look inside me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In the Psalms, he constantly would be crying out to God, saying, show me. Show me what I need to change in my life. Not what I need to change in others' lives. What I need to change in my life. And so let's go back to our passage in 2 Samuel chapter 12. So we see how important it is that we're not to be focusing on the sins of others, but we are to be constantly evaluating our own lives in light of the Scriptures. Now God went on to say in verse 7, I anointed thee king over Israel, I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom, gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. God is willing to give us anything and everything. What does he want? He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to be in love with him and serving him with our lives. And he's saying to David, look at all I've done for you. Look at all I've given you. And you return it by doing this, not only such a terrible sin against Uriah and Bathsheba, but in sight of all of Israel as their king. What a horrible testimony. And yet I was willing to do so much for you. And I believe we limit the blessings of God with our own sin. And God even says such. If you look Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1. When we are living in sin, when we're not dealing with sin, we are essentially, like Nathan said, despising the commandments of the Lord. Despising his word. And when we're in that attitude and in that state, look at Isaiah chapter 59, what God says. Behold, verse 1, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. It's all about the sin. God said to David, I was ready to give you more and more and more and more, but look what you did. And I believe he says the same to us. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God can give us anything and wants to. But he wants us to be obedient. He wants us to serve him. And when we sin, if you go back to our passage, notice in verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? Now, I'm sure David didn't pick up the Old Testament, which is all he would have had at the time, and say, I hate God's Word. Because David loved God's Word. Read Psalm 119. It's all about his love for God's Word. But what God was saying was, the way that he was behaving, he was saying through his behavior that he despised God's Word. It's the same with us. We can say we love the Word of God, but we need to show we love it by obeying it. Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments? In John 14, 15. How do we show our love for Jesus Christ? Through obedience. We can say all day long, we can go to church and say, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. But if we're living disobediently, we don't love Jesus. We might be saying we do, but we don't. Because we display our love through obedience. We display our love for God's Word through obedience. That's why he says to David, you have despised the commandment of the Lord. What a statement. The man who loved the Word so much that he wrote these psalms that bless our hearts all the time. But during this time in his life, when he wasn't listening to the Spirit of God, he was despising the Word of God. And so he goes on to say in verse 10, therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. I will take thy wives from before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Thou didst it secretly. How often do we forget? God knows everything and sees everything. In Psalm 90, verse 8, it says, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. But the next thing I would point out in this passage is when the Holy Spirit does reveal sin to us, which he will, if we're willing to ask, if we're willing to come to him daily and say, Lord, search my heart, not someone else's, search my heart. As he points out sin, what's the response? Verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. Respond with repentance. Go to Psalm 32, verse 5. And again, we're going to learn from David, of all people, because David learned it firsthand. Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Most people believe David wrote Psalm 32 after this event. I think that's probably true. It fits, doesn't it? Because after David said, I have sinned against the Lord, what did Nathan say? He went on to say, the Lord hath put away thy sin. You've acknowledged it, you've repented, you've confessed it, it's done. And what does the Bible tell Christians? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it all starts with us. We've got to be willing to confess it. The Holy Spirit will point it out. When we're in church, when we're in our devotional times, we're reading God's Word, maybe even through the words of a brother or sister in Christ, but the conviction will be there. The Holy Spirit will bring it. It's just, how do we respond? And this needs to be our response. I have sinned. I was wrong. Three of the hardest words in the English language to say, right? I was wrong. And yet, three of the most important. And David didn't hesitate. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't stand up and say, hey, wait a minute. I'm the king. I'm the one after God's own heart. Look at all God's done for me. Look who I am. No. First words out of his mouth after Nathan said, thou art the man, I have sinned. That's how we need to respond when the Holy Spirit points sin out in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is God and has the power to do exactly that, if we're willing to come to Him and ask. Ask Him to search. Go to Psalm 51, if you would. Most believe He also wrote this psalm after this event, and I believe that is most likely true. This entire psalm is what they often refer to as a penitential psalm. In other words, it's a psalm of repentance that David wrote after being aware of sin in his life. But notice what he says in verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. What an attitude. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Can't keep secrets from God. He's waiting for the truth in the inward parts. He's waiting for us to be honest so that we can deal with this sin. And then he says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's a beautiful psalm to read when the Holy Spirit points out sin in your life. But the point I was trying to make is that David responded properly. And we need to respond properly when the Holy Spirit points out sin in our lives by repenting and confessing, which is the very thing he did. Not defend ourselves, not be like Adam and Eve and try to keep it from God or try to blame someone else, which we're good at. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. No. Accept responsibility. Say, I was wrong. I sinned. Confess it. And we serve a merciful and wonderful God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and restore that fellowship. Praise God. And so, be willing to repent and confess. Now, the next thing I would point out, probably something we didn't expect. Verse 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that is born unto thee shall surely die. And I would say this. Accept the consequences. God is a God of perfect justice. He's a perfect Father. And He will always do what's best for us. Sometimes when we sin, there's going to be consequences. Sometimes lasting consequences, at least from an earthly point of view. Losing a child's pretty lasting. And how we respond to that is important. We can get bitter, we can get angry. David didn't. David understood that, in a sense, this was necessary. Not just because of what he had done, but because it was public. And Israel knew about it. I mean, it was obvious. He took Bathsheba to be his wife, and now she's pregnant with this child. It wasn't something he could keep a secret. And God forgave him, but he still had to suffer the consequences of his sin. And sometimes that's the case in our lives as well. You know, there's certain sins that we will commit. There's going to be consequences. And God's not going to undo those things. Say it's financial, for example. We make a serious mistake there or disobey God in some way. And we ask God to forgive us. He'll forgive us. But is He going to then bail us out of that financial situation? Probably not. And we could go on and on. There are going to be consequences many times, and we need to be willing to accept them with the right spirit. And David did. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, where the Bible explains this. For New Testament Christians, God refers to it as chastisement. Because you've got to remember, our sin is covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? We have no sin when it comes to our standing before God in heaven. And when we stand before God at that judgment seat of Christ, He will see Jesus. Because as we're told in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We receive the righteousness of Christ. So doctrinally speaking, we're going to go to heaven because we are righteous through Jesus Christ. What we're talking about here is our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And that can be hindered by sin. God wants that fellowship to be sweet. He wants us to be close. He wants us to spend time together. But when there's sin between us, that's when 1 John 1:9 comes into play. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us, to restore that fellowship. But often there will be consequences. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Sometimes God has to get out a stick. And it's not pleasant. And it can take on an infinite number of forms. And when it happens, we need to accept it. And acknowledge that God did the right thing as our Father. Now, doesn't the Bible say, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In Galatians 6, 7, we do reap what we sow. And that's true with sin. And so there often will be consequences, and when there are, we need to accept them. As from the Lord, as what we needed. So go back to our passage, if you would, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15. Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David, therefore, besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. I would just say, keep praying for His mercy. If we didn't have the mercy of God, where would we be? Think about it this morning. If God had to bring out the big stick every single time we failed Him, we wouldn't even be able to walk to church because we'd be crippled. If every time we sinned, how often do we sin per day? In our thoughts, in our omissions, in our deeds, in our words, if every single time we committed a sin, right then, God got out the big stick and let us have it, we'd all be dead. Let's face it. But God's not that way. He's so patient. He's so long-suffering. He's so merciful. And we need to keep praising God for that mercy and thanking God and resting in that. But at the same time, we need to be constantly coming to the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, show me. Look into my heart. Look into my life. Evaluate me. Show me where I need to change. Show me the sin that I need to confess and deal with and maybe forsake so that I can stay close to You. And it's that circle, if you will. You know, David now, he's praying. You think David was praying much while he was having Uriah killed? You think he was praying much when he was taking Bathsheba to be his wife, which wasn't allowed? Guarantee, he did not have the same fellowship with the Lord that he had before that. Now, what's he doing? He's on his face. What changed? Well, God spoke to him. God pointed out the sin in his life. Now God's going to bring some chastisement into his life. And his response is to spend more time with God. So it worked. So we need to respond properly and just keep on praying for the mercy of God and thanking Him for it. And think about, again, where we would be if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, what he did for us on Calvary. None of this would matter because we'd all be going to hell. But we're going to heaven through what Jesus did. God's our Heavenly Father now, loves us and takes such good care of us and blesses us and wants whatever we could desire, if it's in His will. He wants to provide those things. Doesn't the Bible say, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart? That's what He wants to do for all of us. But we hold that back with sin. And let's not be in the situation where God has to send a Nathan into our lives. Let's not take it that far. Let's be on our knees every day, asking God to look into our own hearts and our own lives and pointing out the sins that we need to take care of, keeping those short accounts. Thou art the man, he said. Let's pray. Lord, thank you.